Good morning, everybody. As Mike reminded us a few minutes ago, we've got seven sleeps till Christmas. I suppose that's six sleeps till you can hang your stocking out. I think it must be. So this morning we are going to think about Emmanuel. No, can we have the one before? Thank you. To think about Emmanuel, God with us. But as by way of an introduction to that, Carol is going to come and tell us something of her story.
Right, bear with me. It was September last year when I stood here at the front of church and told everyone that I'd just been diagnosed with breast cancer. I was going to have a lumpectomy, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and my treatment would be finished by mid-April. That was in September. I can't tell you what a long haul that seemed to be, and it was. I was in shock, and I remember standing here in tears. It was a good job Andrew was standing beside me because I was a bit crumbly. So I just wanted to share in a few minutes some of my experience and what I have learned. Apologies to those who have heard some of this before. It's often said that we learn more about God, ourselves, and our faith in life's difficult times, and I have found that to be true. In the first few days after I'd been diagnosed and I was feeling pretty rubbish, I read this verse from 1 Peter chapter 1 and felt God was speaking to me. This is in the really old-fashioned language. It said, "Now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." The trial of our faith and the exercising of our faith and therefore the strengthening of our faith is so important to God and, of course, to us. Before I had any treatment, I had to go to Dorchester Hospital for a CT scan to see if the cancer had spread. I was frankly terrified. I went up to our bedroom to get ready to go, and I just felt so frightened, and I cried out to God, "Lord, Lord, please, I am so afraid. Please, please, give me something to help me." Various friends had given me over the previous few days various Bible verses. One of them was Psalm 91, and it came into my mind to read Psalm 91 in the Message translation. I hadn't read it in that translation before. I got out my big, heavy, hardback Message Bible with thousands of very thin pages, put it on the bed and thought, right, now I'll try and find Psalm 91. I didn't have to. The Bible fell open at Psalm 91. And the first verses on the page were verses 14 to 16. And these are they. "If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer, be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation." I knew God had spoken to me, and I said, thank you, Lord. I was so grateful. And I went off to the hospital in a completely different frame of mind. I lay under that scanner and thought, this is going to be all right. And it was. The cancer hadn't spread. In those verses of Psalm 91, God had said he would be with me in the bad times, so I knew there would be bad times, and there were. The day my hair all fell out was not a good day. And having my tongue and the inside of my mouth covered in ulcers so I couldn't speak, eat, or drink was awful. And I felt so ill. And the depression, I was surprised at how the disease and the treatment affected my mind and my emotions. Andrew came round and I said to him, "I can't pray." He said, "You don't have to do it." He said, "We'll do the praying. You can just lie there and be miserable." So I did. There were some lighter moments. One morning, probably after the second chemo, I went into the kitchen to see if I fancied anything for breakfast. I collapsed on the floor, and Bob rang 999. When I came round, there were two lovely paramedic girls there. One of them stroked my cheek and said, "You have lovely skin." I remember lying on the floor thinking, she should have gone to Specsavers. So one of the lessons I have learned, and being human and being me, I sometimes still have the wobbles, is that even when you can't sense God's presence, he is there. We have to exercise our faith and trust him. And also that his timing isn't always our timing. He gives us help day to day. He won't give us help for tomorrow today. He'll give us help for tomorrow tomorrow. One of the American Christian writers, Joyce Meyer, who has been a tremendous help to me, she says that when her family are going through hard and tough times, they say, "This too will pass." Bob printed those words out for me and put them, one on the mantelpiece and one on the fridge. Another way of saying it is this: spring always follows winter. Things do change. Bleakness does not always stay forever. So I just wanted publicly to thank God for his healing and his care over the past year, and also to thank you, our church family, for all the wonderful help you gave us. And of course, Bob was great, but I even made him ill with a strain of it all. Still, marriage, you share everything, don't you? So I just want to encourage us all, when we go through hard times, as we inevitably will, to hang on in there. That's what I've learned. You have to hang on in there and trust God. He is always there, and he will never fail us. Adrian Plass, don't know if you know him, but he wrote something for Christians who are going through bad times, and I'll finish with this quote. He says, "I know many of you will be asking why God, your Heavenly Father, seems to be throwing you around the room at present. There are no easy answers to that question, but please leave a little space at the back of your mind to store this message from me. He knows what he's doing, and he loves you. He really does."
Thank you, Carol. Shall we pray for Carol and for Bob? Father, we thank you for Carol's story, and we want to thank you that, Lord, you were there and you are there. And thank you for that great truth that no matter what happens, you are always there. And Lord, so we pray for our dear friends, Carol and for Bob. And Lord, we know that you've met with them in new ways, and we know that you bless them. And Lord, we pray now that you'd continue to do so. Continue to bless them, Lord, and may they continue to rejoice in you and be such an encouragement to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I feel a bit like now follow that, to be honest. But do you remember as a child what looking forward to Christmas was like? I've got lots of memories. I remember helping to stir the pudding. My mother used to make, I don't know, 4 or 5 puddings, I think. I rather think they were mixed up in the preserving pan. And then they used to boil for hours, and the house was filled with that smell that only boiling Christmas puddings makes. It doesn't happen now because we all microwave them or buy them or something, doesn't it? I remember helping to ice the cake and helping to mix the icing, and that was in the days when we actually made the royal icing with sugar and egg whites, and my mother didn't have a mixer for years, so you spent an awfully long time stirring round. Lots of excitement, lots of anticipation, lots of food, lots of fun. When I think back to Christmas Day, what I remember is playing games. We used to play ping pong on the dining table. And our dining table was one of those, certainly in my early years, that had two leaves that came out at either end. And my father was amazing. He could get the ball to bounce on the crack between the leaves so it would fly off at strange angles. We used to play snap and happy families. I have to tell you, my father usually won at those as well. It was when we got to Scrabble that just sometimes one of us could beat him. My memory says there was lots of laughter. And now as I look forward to Christmas, I'm looking forward to being with my family, to being with my, with Stephen, obviously, with two small grandchildren. But as I think about it, as I think about Christmas, I realise that despite what the world and all the advertising and everything else says, what really matters is actually the relationships. What really matters to me is being with the people whom I love. And when I think about it, I think that actually that's what Christmas really is about. Christmas, surely, fundamentally, is about our amazing God coming to be with us. It's about relationship with Jesus, for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God who loves us, being with us. God alongside us, God within us. And so far, I haven't said anything that we don't all know. And I'm probably not going to say anything that we don't all know. But it seems to me that sometimes it is so easy to lose sight of that, the most important thing, that God is with us. We lose sight of it because we get busy. Some of us are working, not me anymore. Some of us just enjoy doing things. Some of us do lots of things in church. It doesn't matter what it is. It's easy, isn't it, to lose sight of the fact of Emmanuel. But then again, I want to ask the question, do we really know? Could we honestly say that it is part of our experience, day to day, to know, to experience Emmanuel, God with us? Do we know it? Is it an ever-deepening reality? A few weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, as I went to EBC to the King's Chamber Orchestra concert that was called How Silently, and I know that some of you were there. And it was the most amazing evening. It was one of those times when the presence of God was so real as to be almost tangible. It wasn't particularly a Christian concert in that sense. It's, I don't know what was happening really. And I sat in the presence of God as all this music was going on around. And up on the screen, there were the words, How Silently, which was the title of the concert. And as I sat there just listening and kind of bathing in the presence of God and looking at these words, the thought that came to me was that our Emmanuel, God with us, so often creeps in beside us silently to be with us. Jesus creeps in to be at the heart of our being. And that's the relationship which is so important. That is what Christmas is all about, but it's more than that, because he creeps in. He creeps in, I have discovered, in new and in different ways, in unexpected ways, at unexpected times, often silently, to catch us unawares. I know that recently, because of a conversation I had with somebody, he crept in beside me and took me completely by surprise in what he said to me. I'm forgetting to do this. That was the one I should have shown you earlier. We've watched Strictly, not all of it, but bits of it this time. And one of the things that the judges, mainly Darcy, has said about Claudia several times is that she has a strong core. Her core muscles are strong. So I wonder if you'd like to ask yourself, do I have a strong core? Not muscle-wise, I'm not... Andy apparently has not. Do we have a strong core? Not in the sense of muscles, but in the sense of, am I allowing Jesus, my Emmanuel, to creep in beside me and love me and strengthen the very core of my being? I want to ask that a slightly different way now. Am I making the space to enjoy his presence? To actually enjoy the fact that he's there? Psalm 131 says, I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. And I guess we all know what it's like when a baby kind of, you know, snuggles in and has gone to sleep. We've got one at the back who I think she's gone to sleep, has she? It's lovely, isn't it, when a baby does that and just nestles in. Are we doing that with our Heavenly Father? Just lying there, basking in his love, enjoying his peace, just enjoying being with him? The story of Mary, oh, I can look at it there, can't I? I don't need to do that. The story of Mary that David read for us is a story of a girl who was not afraid to take a risk. And as I read that story, what I think is that there is an incredible sense of peace and calm about her in what must have been a totally terrifying moment. She heard a terrifying message. But I think she must have, right at the core of her being, known the love of God. Because otherwise, how else could she say, well, whatever you want, that's okay with me. There are so many situations when I know I have been completely unable to say that. Just argued and fought and struggled, and Mary just said, that's what you want, that's fine. Are we so close to Emmanuel that we could do that with Mary? Whatever you want, that's fine. To allow ourselves to be loved, I think, is a risky business. And fundamentally, that's what allowing Jesus to creep in beside us and enjoying his presence means. So many of us have been betrayed at one time or another. So many of us have never actually been on the receiving end of unconditional love. So many of us, if we are truly honest, are actually working to receive it, working to earn it. So many of us are trying to be good enough for it or somehow worthy of it. And so many of us simply can't allow ourselves to actually enjoy his presence at the centre of our being. I read a book recently about the prodigal son. That actually is a picture of the prodigal daughter. But in the reading of this book, I understood for the first time, despite however many hundreds of times I've read it before, that the turning point, the real crux of the whole thing for the prodigal son, it's not the moment when he says, oh, he came to his senses. For at that moment, he's actually still bargaining. He's going to go back to his father and he's going to make a deal with him. At that point, he hasn't faced the fact that he simply cannot put right the terrible wrong that he's done to his father. The turning point is actually the moment when he allows his father to put a ring on his finger and a cloak around him, when he actually receives the love and the acceptance and the forgiveness, and he allows himself to be welcomed back as a son, a and he goes to the party held in his honour. He allows himself to be loved despite what he has done. And at that point, he stops trying to earn it, and he stops trying to receive it, and he simply allows himself to receive what is being offered. If you would allow me just a little bit of poetic license, he allows Emmanuel to creep in beside him. Let me put that another way. It's the coming to the realization that we are loved and nothing can change that. The knowledge that God is pleased with us and nothing can change that. Did you notice these words about Mary? Mary, you have found favor with God. Can we hear Jesus saying that to us? You have found favor with God. Can we allow Emmanuel to creep in beside us silently, to love us and heal us and give us his peace? I can't make it happen. I can only invite and I can only wait for Emmanuel to creep in and take me by surprise. For that is the other thing about Emmanuel which strikes me from this story of Mary, that so often he takes us by surprise. That day, presumably for Mary, was just a very ordinary day. She was doing the things that she always did. But life was never the same again, because into the ordinariness of the day, an angel came with a message not so much asking her to do anything, but asking her to be willing to be. Will you be the mother of the Messiah? Not so much a position of glory, but as of anguish. Are we willing to be taken by surprise? Are we willing to take a risk? As we look ahead, none of us has any idea at all of what 2017 might hold. I'm sure most of us have hopes and dreams, things we want to do, places we want to visit. Somewhere in our thinking, is there space to be taken by surprise by Emmanuel? Because it seems to me that if he has truly crept in beside him, if we have truly allowed him to love us, then we're bound to be surprised. How could it be otherwise? Just think of the scriptures, Abraham being told he'd have a son and yet waiting 25 years for it. Moses being told, oh, I want you to lead Israel out of Egypt. Gideon being told to lead Israel, what, me? David being chosen instead of his elders and betters. Esther asked to save her people when she was one young girl in a harem. Peter named as the rock, Paul the least of the apostles, and so on down the centuries. Emmanuel, God with us, will always surprise us. He will always lead us to new experiences and new challenges. How could it be otherwise? In a minute, we are going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, and which we also sang that night at the Baptist Church. And the words of whichever verse it is, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. What if we could have a moment's pause? And right now, would you like to invite Emmanuel to creep in beside you? And is there something special you'd like him to bring? Let's pray for him. Let's just be quiet. Just invite him for yourself. And let's pray also for the new year. Emmanuel, God with us, we pray that as we draw to the close of this year and look ahead, we pray that you would creep in to be with us every day of 2017. And Emmanuel, I pray that each of us would enjoy your presence with us. Give us the grace to receive your love and your peace. Give us the courage to allow ourselves to be surprised by you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.